This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
Kind of catapult the propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello and welcome to Open Eyes. My name is Ira Robinson and I want to welcome you to this Monday, February 23rd, 2015 episode. It is going to be a really good one. I have so much on tap for you guys. I have my special guest, my brother slash from another mother, however you want to put it, my best friend Joe Long. He's coming back on to join me on this episode after the first commercial break. We had a really wonderful conversation. It is a pre-recorded one, but we had a wonderful conversation talking about some of the issues that are going on today with vaccines, with the fact that they're trying to change the way that students are learning United States history, so many different things. And I wanted to let you guys know that we are working to develop actually a show together that is going to be on every week on Late Night in the Midlands. And we're looking forward to bringing that to you. We're currently developing it right now. Hopefully we'll get it started here within the next couple of weeks. But I wanted to let you guys know ahead of time that that is on tap. And I think that you guys will find it very interesting. We've had a lot of good feedback every time that I have him on. I seem to get a lot of really good response from you guys saying that you really enjoy the conversations that we have together. So we thought, hey, why not bring you an entire show every week that's all just me and him having these conversations about the issues of today. So I'll let you guys know as that develops what is going to happen, when it's going to be on and that sort of thing. Yeah, you guys will be the first to know. So moving on, I wanted to give you guys some news that I ran across that, boy, some of it, you know, today, this stuff is getting crazy, isn't it? We've got the propaganda beating the war drums. We've got people freaking out over vaccines and different disease outbreaks that are going on. We've got so many different issues with our children that are happening, and all of it is really by and large being ignored by the mainstream media. They will beat the topics to death that propagate their agendas, but when it comes to actually telling the truth about things, they don't bother. They don't care. The truth doesn't matter to them. The only thing that matters to them is advertising numbers. Well, We don't work like that here, do we? Anyway, so I ran across a few things that I wanted to make sure that you guys heard about, because boy, oh boy. The first one actually is sort of an interesting one that I ran across. There's a statue of a Buddha that has been around, well, for about 1,000 years now. And it was discovered that this is no ordinary Buddha statue. They did a CT scan on this statue to find out what the composition on the inside was, and they discovered that it is actually a mummified body that's on the inside of this statue. They say this fascinating artifact is currently on display as part of a mummy-themed exhibit at the Netherlands Drenthe Museum. It's the first time the Buddha mummy has been shown outside of China, according to the museum. The statue contains the remains of a monk who lived around the year 1100 and is possibly an example of self-mummification. I have the link for this story as well as all my other stories on the show notes for this episode, which you'll be able to find at our show notes at openeyesnetwork.com/OE075. It's a really interesting story. If you look at the pictures of it, you can see everything that's on the inside of the mummy, including the rib cage and all of that kind of stuff. One thing that I ran across with it is that the legend around it is that this monk is actually still alive inside of this statue and is just in a state of meditation. It's so deep that his body is almost literally forgotten. So I thought that was kind of an interesting take on the statue. That's actually not the first time that something like that has occurred. I don't know if you guys have ever heard about the Buddha boy, but that also is a very interesting story that has taken place as far as someone who has the capability of doing such a deep state of meditation that they no longer really even need to breathe or eat or drink or anything along those lines. It's fascinating to me. The next story that I have for you guys, Homeland Security is warning that terrorist threats are from right-wingers. The threat from the right-wing anti-government groups could be greater than the threat from foreign Islamic terrorists. A new intelligence report from the Department of Homeland Security warns of the imminent danger posed by domestic anti-government terrorist groups. In its report on the study, CNN suggests that the real terrorist threat in America is not posed by Islamic terrorists, but anti-government right-wingers. In the CNN report itself, they say they're carrying out sporadic terror attacks on police, have threatened attacks on government buildings, and reject government authority. A new intelligence assessment circulated by the Department of Homeland Security this month and reviewed by CNN focuses on the domestic terror threat from the right-wing sovereign citizen extremists and comes as the Obama administration holds a White House conference to focus efforts to fight violent extremism. Now, you notice that there. They have to input the whole sovereign citizen extremism thing there, right? This whole thing as far as the sovereign citizens are concerned. Oh my God. They are so pushing forward that agenda in a big way. And it is getting really stupid. I mean, these people don't know when to stop, do they? They have been coming out for a while now with the whole sovereign citizen. If you reject the way that the government does anything in any way, shape, or form, you are automatically being branded as a terrorist. But look, you can be branded as a terrorist for any number of things these days. You can be branded as a terrorist for wearing blue jeans. You can be branded as a terrorist for sweating. You can be branded as a terrorist for sneezing or coughing. And I kid you not, you might think that I'm joking about that, but I am dead serious about that. This is on the record from the FBI, from the CIA, from the Department of Justice. These things are there as signs of someone who is a potential terrorist. So if you are walking around in blue jeans and you're sweating because you happen to be walking around in Arizona or something like that, then you are going to be looked at as a potential terrorist threat. And it's the same with this whole, oh, right-wingers are the terrorist extremists, and they're worse than the Islamic terrorists. I'm sorry, but I don't see anybody who is a quote-unquote right-wing extremist burning people, beheading people. I don't see it. I don't see that occurring very much here in America, right? And yet that's what is going on in the Middle East right now with the Islamic terrorists. You see how it goes, guys. This is the way that the propaganda drum gets beaten. I have a news or a clip for you guys to listen to. It's an audio clip that was done by a citizen journalist in Washington. I believe, if I remember correctly, it was in Spokane, Washington. And they were doing a tour of the new MRAPs that the police officers there in their area have. Police were allowing people to come and look at them and talk about them and all of that kind of stuff. And this person, they published this video that they made of a police officer, one of the deputies there, talking about the reason why they have this MRAP there.
Well, the nice thing about this piece of equipment is that if somebody is directing fire toward a team that's trying to get in, they can pull right up to a front. Take enemy fire and still try to address a threat without being fear of getting shot.
So I'm thinking that is totally appropriate in Iraq, but what kind of a situation in the U.S. would you see that happening?
I mean, we've got a lot of constitutionalists, a lot of people that stockpile weapons, a lot of ammunition. They have weapons here locally.
So you catch that? We have a lot of constitutionalists around here. Okay, so exactly what is a constitutionalist, Mr. Deputy? Is this a person who actually advocates for what our rights are? Is this a person who actually advocates that the government is working incorrectly and at odds with the Constitution that is supposed to govern this United States? Is that the person that you're referring to there? No, I understand he's talking about the militias, but that's not the point. It doesn't take somebody being in a militia to support what the Constitution says is the right way to be or the right things to do. It doesn't take someone that's in a militia to understand that we have certain inalienable rights and that they have to be defended at all costs. You don't have to be in a militia to know and understand this. But of course, that's who they're going to go after, right? That's who they are really pushing all of these agendas against. It's not the terrorists that are overseas that they're concerned about. It's the people that are here. And anybody and everybody right now in this time and place is a terrorist. I'm a terrorist for speaking these things. I'm a terrorist for talking to you guys about the information that I bring forward to you guys on each and every one of my shows. I'm a terrorist for these things. Because I'm speaking out against what the government is doing. I'm speaking out against the wrongs that I'm seeing, and therefore I'm a terrorist. I'm not a terrorist. I'm somebody that's American. I'm somebody that is looking at the things that are going on in the world and saying, hey, this is frickin' wrong. That's not a terrorist. That's actually being somebody that has a conscience. So I had to be sure to bring that story to you guys. I know a lot of you guys out there also are supporters of the rights that you have. So take a look. Now they're really putting their baleful eye on you, to say the least. The U.S. government proposed a massive weather modification program to undo a global warming trend it blames on human activities such as industry, highways, and population. It is publishing two books, one proposing solar radiation management, the other a deindustrialization in the name of humanity. Both agendas continue a heady nation-state agenda where necessities of policy drive profound interventions. Stiffer controls on productivity and industry drive Plan A, as it's called. A magnificent official pollution program is Plan B, one that will increase the albedo, or the reflectivity, of the Earth to counteract what the multiple authors call anthropogenic global warming, or global warming caused by mankind. Climate intervention reflecting sunlight to cool the Earth by the National Academy of Sciences is one of these books. The authors and their intelligence community backers espouse launching a program to blanket the Earth with dull gray clouds to deflect energy and heat from the sun. But their paper provides enough qualification and warnings about prospective dangers as to be nuanced, as the Associated Press calls it. The NBC also asked the right question, willing to give up the blue skies for a climate fix. Now, this is a little bit of an older article, but it's one that I ran across, and I wanted to be sure to bring it up because actually on Wednesday, I am going to be speaking about some of the lies that we're being told by the government all the time, the fact that we're in this insanity all the time. And I kind of wanted to give you a little bit of a foretaste about it all. So, with that, guys, I need to take a break. When we come back, I am going to have Joe Long on, and I think that you guys are going to get a real, real kick out of the conversation that we ended up having. So stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Open Eyes looks for the truth in all things, no matter where it may lead. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters are bringing to this world, or aliens and UFOs, no subject is taboo or off limits. Listen to Open Eyes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the LNM Network at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
The LNM Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an LNM subscriber can be found at the top of latenightinthemidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of latenightinthemidlands.com and help us help you.
Hello, this is Dick Farrell here to tell you about OxySilver, legally available only through CureShop.com and HealthyWorldStore.com. Don't be fooled buying silver products from copycats and criminals. You've heard Dr. Leonard Horowitz and experts urge you to avoid deadly vaccinations and illegal operators selling stolen OxySilver and OxySilver copycats. You've heard experts tell you about suppression in alternative medicine and confusing propaganda in healthcare and the truth movement. Read Dr. Horowitz's book, Healing Celebrations, to learn how miracle healings can be made to happen through faith, prayer, and a pure diet. Get great immunity using vitamin C, D, and OxySilver, Liquid Dentist, GI Flora Pro, a top-shelf probiotic. Use Green Harvest as a great-tasting meal substitute for energizing organic nutrients and losing weight. And Zeola, and natural clays for detoxifying your body. More advice, all these products, and more are available from thecureshop.com. including OxySilver, the world's most powerful silver hydrosol. Electro-energized to put risky injections, toxic antibiotics, and deadly drug pushers out of business. OxySilver is covalently bonded to water, unlike any other silver product using the frequency of chlorophyll 528. What Dr. Horowitz explains is Pure Tone Love, the universal healer. NASA originally developed covalently body silver hydrosols to keep astronauts healthy in space. Dr. Horowitz added the 528 frequency to NASA's formula and more. OxySilver works three ways: to electrocute dangerous germs better than anything, far better than all leading silver products, and without any risk. OxySilver oxygenates and resonates with 528 for faster healing. So help save lives, putting drug lords and criminals out of business, and keep the LNM network broadcasting. Register for our free cooperative at healthworldaffiliates.com/4948. That's healthyworldaffiliates.com/4948. And buy OxySilver and other great products in package specials at great discounts from thecureshop.com. Buy OxySilver, GI Flora Pro, Green Harvest, Zeolove, and Love Minerals at great discounts at cureshop.com. That's cureshop.com with two P's. CureShoppe.com. Or call toll free at 1-888-621-7611. That's 1-888-621-7611. Do it now.
So I want to challenge you all about what you think you know. You know. You think that you're a human being and you know the way the world works, but I'm here to burst that bubble.
All of us are energy. A human being is a very complex pattern of energy.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward.
Much more important to teach children to question what they read. Children should be taught to question everything. Children should be taught to question authority. Parents never teach their children to question authority because parents are authority figures themselves.
Like it or not, for the moment, the earth is where we make our stand.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love.
Because to be awoken means you're doing the work here to change this world right here in the now, where you're at now, from where you're at now.
The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one.
It underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known.
But I'm exactly where I wanted to be, because I realized I gotta commit my very being to this thing. I gotta breathe it, I gotta eat it, I gotta sleep it. And until you get there, you'll never be successful in life. But once you get there, I guarantee you, the world is yours. The world is yours.
And hello and welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira, and thank you for sticking around through that break. You know, I really like how that one turned out. I did that one not long ago, and I really like how it came out, because it speaks volumes about how the world really works. It's both the good and the bad. You got to take the bad with the good and learn from it, use it, and move on with your life. So as I stated earlier before the break, we have a guest tonight, and that makes my job a lot easier. Tonight I have on my oft guest, my my dear brother and faithful companion, Joe Long. Hello, Joe. Are you there with me?
Yes, I am. And just wanted to say, Ira, that was a very good song. I very much enjoyed that, especially the quotes of one of my favorite comedians of all time, Mr. Carlin.
Yeah, you knew I had to toss a little bit of the late, great George Carlin in there.
Yes, definitely. Also, the quote from Million Dollar Baby from, it wasn't Million Dollar Baby. I think that was Rocky Balboa, wasn't
it? Yep, Rocky Balboa from Stallone, yep.
I thought I heard Sly in there.
Yeah, I had to make use of it. It was just too perfect. So anyways, tonight we have the topic of, well, kind of random stuff that we've run across since the last time that you were on the show, which has been a while. Definitely. You've been busy with work and with life in general, and I'm glad to have you back because I've missed your input on a lot of the things that I've had on the show of late. So
happy to be back. You know, yes, work has definitely been keeping me a little worried, a little stressed, and a little busy. Not to mention, you know, two kids and parents and
two kids, four dogs, a family, and 2.5 cats, and all that kind of good stuff.
Exactly. Well, but on a good note, you know, our dictator in chief finally let me have my money back.
Oh, how wonderful for you. We have yet to file our...
I was able to cobble together a bigger system than yours.
Yeah, well, you have to keep up with the Joneses there.
At least for the time being.
Although I just upgraded my CPU, folks. That's going to be a while before my wife will deign to let me do anything like that again.
You have to understand, folks, for the last 17 years... it has been a matter of keeping up with the Joneses between the two of us. I upgrade. Within a month, he upgrades. Bigger.
Got to.
So, yeah, I've been trying to best him as far as computers have gone for 17 years, and I've, you know, it's a running – neither one of us will ever win this battle, Ira.
Yeah, we'll keep doing it.
We both have, you know – USS Enterprises floating above us with, you know, adaptive memory computers.
There you go. We'll keep doing it until they come along with the new robotic overlords and then we're no longer allowed to do it anymore.
Exactly. No, we'll each have a HAL 9000.
Yeah.
Then there we you won't go. Have to worry about it anymore.
That'll work. A nice,
as long as it doesn't go psycho on us and try to blow us out an airlock.
A nice heuristic computer system would be pretty nice. So, why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself besides the fact that you're jealous of my computer systems all the time.
Well, as Ira stated, my name is Joe Long, and I have known this crazy fool for the better part of 17 years. He and I are brothers. We are comrades in arms. We are oft times at odds on our viewpoints, where my viewpoint tends to be a little more conservative, where his tends to be a little more libertarian, or in my personal opinion, a little more pure liberal.
Hey, now watch your language.
But you know, we are the best of friends, and I love being with him. I love talking with him. I love being on his show.
Well, you know, one thing I like, just not to interrupt you here, but one thing that I like as far as our thing is concerned is that we're a pretty good example, actually, of how people could be if they decided to get along a little bit better. You and I have sort of this weird dichotomy where you come at issues from a totally different angle than I do. And yet, and we often butt heads. We'll sometimes get into screaming and hollering matches together, but by the time all is said and done, we're still best friends and still, you know, walking away with each other with, you know, our arms around each other and, hey, so what are we going to do tomorrow? You know?
Exactly. I think some of our best arguments have come when we're sitting in the middle of a lake on my boat where we can't get away from each other.
And often want to toss each other off the side.
Exactly. And we still, you know, people that would see us sometimes on the lake would look at us like we're crazy to be on this small boat together because we can't seem to get along. Yet by the time we get back to the dock, we're laughing and joking with each other.
Exactly. And I like that. I've often looked at us as a really good example of how I think the world maybe should act, because not everybody's going to get along with everybody all the time, but you don't have to walk away from each other with guns in hand and ready to blow each other out of the water, basically.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Tonight I wanted to talk to you about a couple of subjects that I ran across. The first one that I ran across, this one I had to shake my head at in a big, big way. I don't know if you've heard much about this one yet, not, Joe, but in Oklahoma, they are attempting, well, they actually passed it, I guess. An Oklahoma legislative committee overwhelmingly voted to ban advanced placement U.S. history classes, persuaded by the argument that it only teaches students what is bad about America. Other lawmakers are seeking a court ruling that would effectively prohibit the teaching of all AP courses in public schools. Now, before you start going off on a Rambo, because I know you want to, let me finish reading the rest. Oklahoma Representative Dan Fisher, because it's going to take you off even more, has introduced a emergency legislation prohibiting the expenditure of funds on the Advanced Placement United States History course. Fisher is part of a group called the Black Robe Regiment, which argues the church and God himself have been under assault, marginalized, and diminished by the progressives and secularists. The group attacks the false wall of separation of church and state. Don't kill me yet. The false wall of separation of church and state. The Black Robe Regiment claims that a growing tide of special interest groups indoctrinating our youth at the exclusion of the Christian perspective. Fisher said the advanced placement history class fails to teach American exceptionalism. The bill passed the Oklahoma House Education Committee on Monday on a vote of 11-4. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, where to begin? Where to begin? Okay, first and foremost, is this guy cracked? That's my first question. Has he lost his cotton-picking, hayseed mind? Okay, Ira, you were in AP history.
Indeed.
I was in AP history. History was probably my best subject in school.
It was one of my favorites.
And what I remember now, granted, this was 22 years ago. I graduated 22 years ago. You graduated 25 years ago. Yes, we're dating ourselves here, people. But bear with me. From what I remember of my AP history class, actually what I remember of all of my history classes, it wasn't, yes, did it sugarcoat slavery? No. Did it sugarcoat the Depression? No. Did it sugarcoat the civil rights movement and the brutality and the nastiness that it was involved with that? No, it told history as it's supposed to be told. Facts.
Yeah.
History is facts. It's not just one perspective. And the thing that just keeps ringing in my ears is a quote that is a very ancient quote by the great Chinese philosopher Sun Tzu. Those who do not learn from history are condemned to repeat it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I talked about on Friday when I brought this news in my news cycle at the beginning of my show. I talked about this on Friday, and that was exactly what I said. Those who don't know history, they're doomed to keep repeating the cycle, because history is on a cycle. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was not even close to being done yet.
I didn't figure.
I'm sure, as you know. Okay, now the fact that this guy is a member of something called the Black Robe Regiment. Excuse me? First of all, a politician that freely claims to be part of something called the Black Robe Regiment, that would start to make me wonder how long he's going to be in the Senate, in the Oklahoma Senate. Because I know a lot of people in Oklahoma. I used to drive a long haul truck. I've met a lot of people in the Corn Belt. Yeah, this is not exactly the type of behavior they condone.
Well, wasn't it Oklahoma that recently?
They are attacking God and the church.
Wasn't it Oklahoma that recently banned or attempted to ban the giving of marriage licenses to both gays and atheists?
I believe so, yes. I mean, we're talking about a very, very God-fearing people here.
Yeah.
Now, they may say the Black Robe Regiment is a bunch of priests, which, okay, maybe it is. But the thing is, history, they're not attacked. Okay, first of all, in public education, they are so conditioned and terrified of the word God in public education that to even contemplate them attacking God or talking about God or church or Christianity or anything like that in schools is a laughable thing. The only thing I agreed with in that article, Ira, there's only one thing I agreed with: attacking the false wall of separation of church and state. I was about ready to stand up and dance a jig because finally some politician gets it. And for those of you that don't understand what I'm saying here, and that's probably most of you.
Yeah, I was going to say, go ahead and clarify.
So conditioned to believe that the First Amendment states that we have a separation of church and state, that the Constitution states that church and state must be separate, neither one shall ever combine.
Forever. You're wrong. Two shall be twain.
You are wrong. I have been fighting this. This has been my personal soapbox and pet peeve for about 30 years now. Because in the Constitution, nowhere does it state ever that there is a separation in this country between church and state.
No, it says that there's a freedom of religion. And in fact, despite what atheists and such may try to claim, it doesn't say that there's freedom from religion.
The actual quote, the actual text says, government shall make no laws infringing on the... Oh, great. Now I'm going to have to look it up, folks, because I can't remember the exact quote because I'm a little flustercated.
It's okay. Go ahead and finish your thought.
But basically, we have freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And the only place that the separation of church and state doctrine has ever been even put into writing was a letter from Thomas Jefferson, who was at that time Secretary of State to George Washington, to a conference of Baptist ministers. It was a letter he wrote to them. It was never put into the Declaration of Independence. It was never put into the Constitution of the United States, and it was never put into the Bill of Rights, people. So let's get that straight right now.
Right. It's been used as a propaganda piece. It's a color of law thing. People have treated it as if it's a law for so long that it has essentially become a de facto law. That's what it comes down to.
Exactly. And, you know, you're not going to get me to agree with Soda Sotomayor this time or the ACLU. Not going to happen this time, folks.
Darn it.
Not going to happen. But, you know, the ACLU has used that to, quite frankly, eliminate any mention of any religion except the ones they want to protect from any public spaces.
Islam.
For 60 years now.
Islam.
Yeah.
They're really pushing the Islam thing. Yeah, you're right, though.
Okay, this is the actual text of the First Amendment.
Go ahead.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right to or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Yeah, there you
go. Now, you tell me something, little brother. Did you hear anything about separation of church and state in what I just read?
No, it is nowhere in there. And that's something that is really, well, people need to get that through into their heads. There is no issue, or there is no no actual law or anything that's there. It's color of law. And one thing that I want to make clear to people as well that seem to not really grasp this is that although people may try to claim that the founding fathers were Christian, that is actually far from the truth. They were actually deists, which is not Christian. It's a different type of religious thinking. So
most of our founding fathers were Masons.
Well, yes, but I'm saying that as far as their religious belief was concerned, they considered themselves deists. So to try to claim that there's the whole Christianity thing involved with this as well is an issue. So the Black Robe Regiment, I think, is relating to the idea of most preachers wear black clothing and that sort of thing in the South, and so that's where they come up with.
Which
that,
I've never quite understood why black preachers in the South wear black. Why preachers in the South wear black, because that's the hottest states in the Union, and black is the hottest color to wear.
Yeah, it definitely is. But see, they get fired up then, and you've got to save the country from the bounds of Satan.
Yeah. Now, I mean, okay, for this guy to go so far as to get a court order to, you know, they're trying to get court orders, they're trying to remove emergency funding. No, they don't want – this is not an attack – it's not that they're trying to stop an attack on religion or on God in the schools. They don't want these kids to be taught the truth of what this country really is.
Yeah, there you go.
How this country was founded, how we literally grew this country from the mud to one of the greatest countries on earth. And now the Dark Masters want to ground it right back down into the mud and build what they want.
Right. Essentially, that's what it comes down to. They're rewriting history by omission is what it comes down to.
Well, they've been rewriting history by actual rewriting of history for the last 25 years.
Well, and it's especially becoming more prevalent now with the whole Common Core thing. And I think that's actually what this is relating to in the end, is trying to tie the Christian ideals with the Common Core way of teaching.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's like we live in Indiana, and thanks to the timely election of a governor who doesn't believe in Common Core and a state legislature that put the brakes on Common Core hardcore in this state, we've definitely, you know, yes, there are still some elements of that Common Core program. The legislature and our governor weren't able to get rid of them all because the state superintendent of public education is all for Common Core. She is definitely bought and paid for by the Dark Masters, otherwise known as the NEA. And for those of you who don't know who the NEA is, that's the largest national teachers union. It's called the National Education Association. Right. That's the teachers union. And they're all most of the rank and file teachers, and I've talked to quite a few, especially where my son goes to school. They're not real happy with Common Core.
No,
they're not real happy
it.
With because it takes away their ability to teach.
Yeah, they hate it. They can't stand it.
But the NEA bigwigs who have not been teachers in so long they've forgotten what it's like to be in a classroom. Oh, they love it because it'll make things easier on teachers. You know, all they've got to do is give them the material and, you know, whatever. No, it isn't. They hate it.
It's like the idea of here in Indiana, we have the I-STEP test, which is the sort of like the SATs. The governor has been trying to deal with the I-STEP tests here over the past month or so, and the kids are expected to go through testing of like 13 hours and so on and so forth. And it was helped, they said, by trying to change the way that the I-STEP test is done when it used to take like, what, 8 hours to do? And now they're 5 hours. Yeah. And now they're looking at 13 hours worth of time.
Right. And the main reason it went that way is because McGraw-Hill, who is the company that created the I-STEP test for Indiana, said, oh, well, we've got to incorporate all this Common Core stuff in here now.
Right.
And the governor's like, when he saw that it was a 13-hour test, said, whoa. He signed an emergency executive order saying, reduce the time on this or we're not taking it, period.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm grateful for him for doing that. I don't have much respect for the guy for some of his other thinkings, but I had to agree with him on this aspect of things, because you can't expect kids to sit there for 13 hours worth of testing and not be completely bored out of their minds and failing based just on the fact of they're bored.
Right. Now, you have to understand, people, when we say 13 hours, that's not all in one
day. It's a week's worth of time, but it's 13 hours total, essentially.
Right. And by the time you know, my brother and I, when we were in school, we had to take our forms of the I-STEP. Now, the I-STEP tests that we took when we were in school were to judge what we had learned in the previous year, what we'd retained. We always took ours in the fall, you remember?
Yeah, when
we started school, that gave that, and then the results would come back. That gave our teachers an idea of where the students needed help, what they needed help with, where we needed to improve. Now they give it to them in the spring. And if you're a senior in high school and you don't pass the I-STEP test, you don't graduate.
Yeah. And the I-STEP is used as a way for the schools to get funding. The more students pass the I-STEP, the more funding they get. If they have failures, then they lose funding based upon the amount of fails that happen. So it comes down to teachers no longer teaching what they are interested in teaching or teaching what needs to be taught. What they teach is only what is on the test to make sure that they can pass the test. They memorize what's on the test essentially so that they can pass it and therefore get more funding the next year. And that's not education, that's indoctrination. And it's the same way with this AP history stuff. It's the same thing. They are not teaching history anymore in the light of, well, this is what really happened and be damned the consequences, essentially. They're glossing over all of the bad things that happened in the past. And we have had bad things happen in the past.
Yes, we have.
I mean, America is not an innocent country at all.
No. We've had our growing pains. We've had our dark times. Slavery. The civil right, you know.
The genocide of the Native Americans when it all began. That's the big one.
Exactly.
You know, America literally was founded on blood. So,
yeah, not to diminish your ancestors' suffering, my dear brother.
No. I know. I'm just saying, you know, that there's a very dark stain when it comes to America and the things that we've gone through in this country. I love my country. Don't get me wrong. I love America. But I don't love what is happening to it, and I don't love where it's going. It's going to a place of very deep darkness, and that bothers me because I'm looking at what's happening with all of this stuff, and I'm seeing that my kids are the ones that are going to inherit this stuff. They're inheriting debt that literally is up to our grandchildren's eyeballs at this point. You know, I mean, there's so much stuff that is happening. This is just like one more brick in the wall, essentially, you know.
No, don't start getting me singing Queen here.
Please. No, Pink Floyd.
Don't get me singing Floyd here.
But you get my idea. It's like this is the stuff that we have to be really paying attention to and vigilant against, because if we don't, then what chances are our kids going to have? If we don't do it, then who's going to? You see?
Exactly.
They're not going to know any better because they've never known any different.
Exactly. It's just like a woman who has kids, especially very young kids, who's in an abusive situation, getting hit, getting yelled at, you know, getting beaten, raped, you know, molested, whatever. And her kids see this on a daily basis, and they grow up to say, oh, well, somebody's abusing me. Somebody's hitting me.
And that's normal.
And that's normal behavior.
Yeah. And that
we
actually
have to be the ones to step in and say, no, this is not normal behavior. This is not acceptable practice.
Right. And that actually brings me to another thing that I wanted to talk to you tonight about, just to get your opinion on it. Because I gave my opinion about it pretty big time on Friday, and I don't think that you listened to it yet to know what I said. But I want to get your take, your honest take on, ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
50 Shades of Grey.
My honest take on 50 Shades of Grey is it's harmless. It is completely and utterly harmless. I have actually not read the books. I have not seen the movie. I've had several friends read the books. I've had several friends tell me about the books. As far as the BDSM lifestyle, the master slave, the sub-dominant lifestyle, that's not abuse. That is not a man abusing a woman. That's not a mute, because there are just as many women that are considered the dominant force in a master sub, dom sub relationship as there are men. Actually, I think a recent survey I saw said there were more women that were actually in that controlling role.
Well, that's one
role.
Of the reasons why the movie is as big as it is, I think. But let me state this, and maybe this will give you a bit of a better understanding. I know the whole plot with the story. I've not read it myself, and I've not seen the movie. I'm not going to contribute any money towards this R-rated porno, essentially. But I can get as much porn as I want for free on the internet. Anyways, so... Kidding, folks, kidding. Anyways.
No, he's not.
The thing that's the problem with this, number one, and I'm going to clarify this again because I said this on Friday, but I want to clarify this again here. What happens in another person's bedroom is not my business, and it shouldn't be anybody else's business either. But having said that, the BDSM lifestyle, the bondage, domination, sadomasochism lifestyle, gosh, I'm surprised I remembered that. Anyways, that lifestyle, if that's what you choose to do, then that's fine. The thing with an S&M lifestyle is that there are boundaries. It is consensual with all the parties that are involved, and there's a level of safety because you can walk away from it anytime that you want to say stop. The problem with 50 Shades of Grey is that nowhere in there is the safety factor. This woman is pushed to doing everything, and when she says stop, it still continues. It's literally a type of rape that was going on in the whole thing. That I have a problem with, because what ends up happening is this is teaching people on a subconscious level that kind of thing is okay, and it's not. After all, how many times –
I'm going to stop you right here before my head explodes because I've run out of duct tape.
Okay.
First of all, in a BDSM lifestyle or first of all, it's not truly BDSM. It's a master – it's a sub-dom relationship.
I know, but I'm just trying to make it simple for the other people that are listening.
Okay.
So.
For a sub-dom – what I mean by sub-dominant is submissive-dominant relationship. And in that relationship and in the way that I've read the plot and everything else, the role that Christian Grey takes on is the dominant. The sub is this woman. She agrees to it. She signs a contract to that effect. Yes, there is a safety factor in there. Stop is not the word. Almost all submissive dominant relationships, there is a safety word.
Yeah, I know. Joe, I'm just trying to make it simple for the people.
It is not stop or no or anything like that, because it's part of the game. It's part of the fantasy. It's part of the role that each one of these people are taking on.
Okay, I know. I'm sure I was just trying to make it simple for the people to understand, because I don't know how many
but
people
you're
have this.
You're misrepresenting it. It is not a form of rape. It is a role that two consensual adults are taking on.
I know. In a normal relationship, it is. It is not that way in this particular movie or book, though. Joe, that's what I'm saying. In a true SM relationship, it is that way. But in this particular case, it's not. If you look at the information that's out there about it, it is not that. That is not included in there. That's the difference with it.
Not according to the people that have read the books and told me, you know, the books themselves, Ira, it is included in there. Now, if the filmmakers did not include it in there, shame on them.
Okay. Well, my take on it, what I'm trying to get to as well, though, listen, is that I don't really care for the particulars of the idea of them essentially bringing it to the end caps of Target. Okay, because now they're selling the 50 Shades of Grey paraphernalia on the end caps at Target. You're seeing,
you mean like riding crops?
Yeah, and handcuffs and on and on and on the end caps at Target stores.
Okay, now that I will agree with you on has gone just a bit beyond the
I've
pale
seen
of
it
good
on
taste.
Laundry detergents.
Like what?
Yes.
50 Shades of Gray, the laundry detergent?
Well, it's like an advertisement.
What are we in a Mel Brooks movie? Yeah, merchandising, merchandising. We put the movie's name on everything. We got Spaceballs the breakfast cereal. Spaceballs the doll.
Anyways.
May the Schwartz be with you. And Spaceballs the flamethrower. Okay, come on, people. Let's not get crazy here.
Yeah, but see, that's what I'm saying is that, you know, when it comes to, let's say, for instance, people going out and trying to teach people about what loving relationships and blah, blah, blah are supposed to be about, even if it does include this kind of stuff to their kids, you know, not the average kid walking through Target with their mom holding mommy's hand. Mommy, what's those handcuffs for? you know what I mean? It's kind of introducing things that should not be, you know?
I was at Walmart today with a friend of mine.
Shame on you.
Why? What's wrong with Wally World?
I'm joking. Go ahead.
No, but she stopped to pick up her kids' St. Patrick's Day shirts. They had some really cute ones. And I'm looking at the shirts because I have an 8-year-old boy, and I look down and I see a black t-shirt with a gray tie on it.
Those annoy me.
No. A gray tie kind of loosened and flowing down the shirts.
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha. I thought you were meaning like printed on it.
Yeah, it was printed on it.
Gotcha. Yeah, see, I don't like those.
It's
I hate
50
those.
Shades of Grey tie.
Oh, geez. Are you kidding me?
On a jet black t-shirt.
See, that's what I'm saying. They're right there in the kids' faces, right? What level was it on?
No, this was a little kid's t-shirt.
Oh, my God.
This was a child's t-shirt.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
As a heart attack. Serious as a heart
attack. Okay, I need the duct tape now. Can you pass it over here, please?
You know, and I saw that. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, that's kind of what in the heck am I thinking? Okay, I got to go now.
Walmart should be boycotted just for that kind of thing alone. Seriously, this is ridiculous. The sexualization of our children is getting absolutely ridiculous, but that's a topic for another day. But wow, I can't believe that. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. You know, it doesn't come right out and say 50 Shades of Grey on the shirt, but it's a light gray. You know, if you look at the front of the first book, you know, the light gray tie that's laying there amongst.
Yeah,
the-
it's implied that that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Exactly. Now the kid's going to be, oh, that's kind of a cool shirt. I'll wear that. You know, I got a tie on just like daddy.
Yeah.
Adults are going to look at that and go, oh.
Yeah, we know exactly where that came from. Yeah.
Well, man. It's kind of like, and this is getting, it kind of ties in with the same topic. Have you noticed the plethora of entendres that are in kids' movies that kids don't understand, but adults are like, whoa.
Yes. Well, you know, that's been going on for a really, really long time to begin with. But I give a great example of that with SpongeBob. Now, I like SpongeBob, right? I'm not an obsessive.
You mean SpongeCrack?
I'm not an obsessive fan with SpongeBob, but I know you come over here with the kids and you'll.
People, I'm going to post a picture onto his. Onto the L&M
website. You leave my SpongeBob t-shirt alone.
of him. He wears this every time he and I go fishing, he wears the same shirt. a bright yellow SpongeBob t-shirt.
You leave my SpongeBob shirt alone. It's got holes in it. Anyways, but okay. So one of the episodes of SpongeBob, one of the things that is, like one of the episodes, the Squidward is teaching SpongeBob how to do art. And in one of the portions of it, Squidward says, and if you're very good, then you will learn your art from Mr. Tentacles. And SpongeBob tries to repeat it back, and he's like, and Mr. Tentacle or Mr. Art will rub his tentacles all over my art or something like that, you know? And it's like, okay, yeah, we know exactly where that one was going from, you know? Exactly. That kind of thing has been going on for a while though. Yeah. But it's just getting worse.
Up to me was, yeah, what really kind of drove it home. I mean, I love, you know, Disney movies are rife with them.
Oh, yeah.
If you really watch a Disney movie, they're rife with them. But what brought it up to me was I was watching Peabody and Mr. Peabody and Sherman on Netflix with my son, because I grew up watching the original of that.
Oh, yeah,
on
man.
The
Rocky I love Sherman Bullwinkle and Mr. Peabody. Show. Yeah, I loved them.
And towards the end, you know, they're trying to arrest, and I'm not trying to give it away. There's things are going on, and all of a sudden, George Washington and Abe Lincoln give Mr. Peabody a presidential pardon. And out of nowhere, up pops Bill Clinton, who said, I've done worse.
Yeah, seeing kids aren't going to have a clue what that
kids,
means.
And I was sitting there with, it was me and my son and my mom. My mom and I just looked at each other, busted up laughing, and said, we couldn't believe they went there.
Yeah.
We really could not believe they went there. And it's just like, oh, my Bob.
Oh, you're SpongeBob. Yes, exactly. But that it really does bother me. I mean, yeah, I get it that they want the adults to be entertained at the same time that they're forced to watch it with their kids or whatever. But there's no need for that kind of stuff to be there. You know, I mean,
exactly.
Look, when we were growing up in the 1980s,
on the front of the original, Little Mermaid box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big one in the background. Yeah. Like when you and I were growing up in the 1980s, you didn't see that kind of stuff going on G.I. Joe. You didn't see that kind of stuff going on He-Man, although there was quite a few overtones going on in that one. Yeah, you didn't see that kind of thing going
He-Man
on with She-Ra.
Hela.
Yeah, that's it. You didn't see it going on with Thundercats and that sort of thing. I mean, why is it necessary now as this form of entertainment? You know, it just, again, it's the early sexualization of our kids. They're being taught things that they really don't need to be taught. Whatever happened to kids just being kids? Just let kids be kids.
Yeah, let's send them all to Toys R Us.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, but I mean, it's like, it drives me nuts.
And for those of you who weren't raised in the 80s, Toys R Us, their slogan used to be, it isn't anymore, where a kid can be a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, and the whole song. So with that, okay, let me we're going to go ahead and take a break here real quick. When we come back, we're going to get into actually another topic that fits into the idea with kids especially. We're going to talk about vaccinations and some stuff that's going on as far as that kind of stuff is concerned. Yes, but, you know, it's an important one to talk about. So.
Oh, yeah, because I'm – yeah.
We'll get into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, have your duct tape ready.
Yes, exactly. So guys, stick with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Ben Franklin said, if you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today. Changing the world starts with you, and changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at latenightinthemidlands.com, because things really do need to change.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of latenightinthemidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of latenightinthemidlands.com and help us help you.
How is it possible that anybody with any kind of sanity would consider the United States or Britain or the West in general to be in any kind of position to be punishing anyone for any illegalities? We have tortured and killed and maimed and raped around this planet. Who in the hell in their right mind would consider the United States or the West in general to be in any position to punish anybody? Well, we don't operate under international law. What we have is the color of law, the law of the jungle, in which the rich and the powerful basically determine what goes and what doesn't go. First off, all of these players, these politicians, are nothing more than puppets. They don't serve the people. There is no real democracy. They really serve the rich and powerful who run the world, and that would be the bankers who control the money supply. The bankers, of course, make huge amounts of money. It's because more and more people, despite the clueless masses who continue to be entranced by things so ridiculous as X Factor and American Idol, there is larger numbers of people around the world who are realizing the truth and beginning to recapture the capacity to think for themselves. And they can see that these people who are being put in positions of public trust are defying that trust and representing an agenda which they could never speak about openly because they're nothing more than prostitutes and nothing more than minions for the powers that be. These people are psychopaths to the worst order. We know that the United States president is arming people who are on the U.S. terrorist list. He should be convicted of aiding and abetting, giving material support to a terrorist organization. This is nothing more than a group of terrorists working together, each playing one different role, but all of them working together for the same goal, which is to maintain this hideous and sick and twisted, unjust world that we have, which is a perpetual state of war. Always one illusion, one boogeyman after another. The United States is in a perpetual state of war because the bankers control the politicians and they read the script as given to them by the banksters and they make huge amounts of money off of this. Those that are in government are nothing more than prostitutes who are carrying out the orders of those who are in charge of them, and those that are in charge want another war. The duplicity and hypocrisy of the United States and the West can't even be measured. It is so enormous. This is beyond ridiculous, and the only people that buy this are bought-off prostitutes or the dumbest of the dumb. More than anything else, it is the true American patriots, those who are sick and tired of having given up their life to basically serve the American dream, the American nation, the Constitution that they swore to uphold. It's those military men and women. It's you now. It's coming to you now. Are you a patriot or are you not? Are you going to let your nation descend even further into the chaos and corruption that has been so sick and so twisted that it's destroying American lives as well as the rest of the world to the tune of 22 American servicemen a day who are committing suicide? Are you going to sacrifice more of your American sons and daughters for Israeli wars, for Zionist wars? Are you going to continue to do that? Because you are not a patriot. You are, in fact, aiding and abetting the terrorists you supposedly think you're fighting against. And those Americans who are waking up to this, I hope to God, in the military in particular, that you refuse your orders. And in those in the military, I know that the powers that be are very, very frightened that high-ups within the military will refuse the orders.
Absolutely, they are frightened that they are going to refuse their orders. And that's one of the main reasons why they have been pushing the people out of positions that they know would stand against any order that came down from old Vomit and his crew to say, you're going to go after American citizens now. They have been removing those guys from their positions, from their posts, and putting into place the minions who would be happy to do it with a smile on their face. That was Ken O'Keefe. Joe, what did you think about that?
I agree with most of what he said. I really do. Now, I have a little more faith in him in the U.S. military than he does, I think.
Well, he's actually not a veteran.
Not himself. In so much the leaders of the United States military, but in the soldiers. Anybody from, say, major on down, colonel, lieutenant colonel, colonel, maybe haven't been completely corrupted yet. If you're at a general level, especially more than a one star, yeah, you're pretty much a whore to the powers that be.
Yeah, and I want to make it clear as well that, again, that was Ken O'Keefe. He was an Iraqi war veteran who basically he's been coming out talking about the fact that people who are in the military service, the gen pop of the military service, basically, how they need to be sure to pay attention to the actual orders that they're being given. And if they're given unconstitutional orders, that they need to do their duty and go against those orders.
Because most people believe that in the military that you have to follow any order given to you by a superior officer. That is not true.
No, again, that's a color
of
law thing.
You have the right and the duty to refuse an illegal order.
Yes. And that's the same goes for police as well.
The problem is you have to be able to prove it's an illegal order.
Yeah, that goes for police as well, that police officers, they are required by law to go against any order that they're given that is considered to be unconstitutional, and yet they don't. I mean, 72% say that they'll follow any order that a superior officer gives them. And that's a big problem. Again, that'll be a subject, I think, for another day, because, I mean, you and I could do a whole episode just about that subject alone, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And I definitely want to be sure to get into the vaccination thing tonight, because this is something that's coming about right now during this time period that is really – well, it's critical information to get out. Lawmakers in Congress right now are essentially trying to push through what they're calling Vaccine Save Lives legislation, where they are going to push the idea or push the law, basically, that mandates being vaccinated if you have no if there's no underlying health reason not to, that it will be against the law for you not to be vaccinated, essentially. So this is being passed around Congress right now. There's actually a petition. You can find it on my Facebook page at Ira Robinson or at Open Eyes Network on Facebook, where there's a petition that you can go and sign, and it will send actually a letter to your Congress people as well. Kind of an automated thing. It'll write the letter for you and all that kind of good stuff. But I really recommend going to my page and doing this, because something like this has horrific consequences. Absolutely horrific consequences. Joe, I wanted to get your take on it, though. What do you think about it?
Well, coming from a medical family, as most of the listeners know, I grew up in and around the medical establishment for my entire life. My mother has been a registered nurse for my entire life and longer than that. And before people start claiming that we're anti-vaxxers, no, we're not, or at least I'm not. I have no problem with vaccines in and of themselves. The problem that I have with vaccines, and it's the same one that my brother has, is the reagents and preservatives that are in the vaccines.
Yes, exactly.
They don't need to be there. Things like aluminum dioxide, mercury, cadmium, cobalt.
Yeah, fluoride.
Fluoride, all of which are known neurotoxic agents.
Yep. Yep.
And what this says to me is, A, it's yet another intrusion of the federal government into my body and that body of my children, which they don't need to be in. Especially, there are definitely some people I don't want involved in my body. Oof. Sorry, had to put a little humor in there. Two, it's the dark overlords and the dark man. You know, we're going to be labeled conspiracy nuts. Bring it on. I wear that badge with pride. That it's, if you look at the IQ levels since vaccines have become widespread, they have declined. As the increase in vaccinations has inclined.
Yeah, let me say this part right here just so that people can have a baseline of understanding. In the 1940s, people were given two vaccines. In the 1970s to 80s, they were given eight vaccines. And at this point in time, they're given at least 49 by the age of six. So just as a baseline of understanding of how much they're given at this point. I'm not necessarily completely an anti-vaxxer. I'm more of a pro-questioner. I advocate for the ability for us to be able to ask questions such as, why is there aluminum in there? Why is there mercury in there? Why is there fluoride in there? These are known neurotoxins. These are known to do severe damage to people's brains. My child was impacted by a vaccine. So I know and understand the science behind it, at least what they try to claim is the science behind it. However, if you actually delve deeper into it, the science is very, very flawed, and the evidence is in that these things do cause problems. For instance, I'll give this as an example. We have in the United States a so-called kangaroo vaccine court where people – it's against the law since 1986 for people to be able to sue vaccine manufacturers. Instead, we have to go through a court that is specifically designed only to handle cases involving vaccines. Now, people will try to claim that vaccines do not cause damage. People will try to scream and holler that vaccines don't cause autism. However, the vaccine court themselves have awarded money and have awarded an assent to families that have come there and said, my child was damaged by this MMR vaccine. Over and over again, there have been many cases that have been won with families of children that were damaged by the MMR vaccine. And the court said, yes, they were damaged by that vaccine. So how then can people turn around and say that they don't do any damage? The courts themselves that are designed to handle these admit it.
The problem is, Ira, we can't read those records because unlike every other court in the land, you get a judgment or a decision or a conviction or an acquittal from any court, be it civil court or criminal court. Those transcripts and those records become public record within 90 days. As soon as they are physically able to become available to the public. Anybody, like right now, if I wanted to, I could send out to the clerk of the county courts of Los Angeles and get the transcripts, the actual testimony transcripts from the Manson trial. Try to do that with the vaccine court.
Right.
Their records are sealed.
Right. They're prevented.
And all parties are forced to, if you were, say Ira, you were to go to the vaccine court and sue on Seth's behalf. Before they gave you dime one, you'd have to sign an NDA.
Yeah, exactly.
A non-disclosure agreement.
Exactly. And like I advocate to people, you know that there is an issue when it's made illegal to sue them. You know that there's something wrong there. That alone should be enough to make people ask questions. Anyways, what do you think about this idea that people have been trying to put forward that people who do not vaccinate their children should go to jail?
I think it's absolutely ludicrous.
You and I both, yeah.
I think, you know, now I've had many a conversation with my lovely, loving mother. And she's all for it because my daughter is 9 months old, almost 10 months old now. And she's not had the MMR shot. She said, well, what if you are at a restaurant with your daughter, with, you know, my granddaughter, and somebody there has measles? She could get it and she could die.
Sure, you could walk outside and get hit by a brick.
Get hit by a bus.
Yeah, exactly.
You're talking 1,000 to 1. 1,000,000 to 1 odds.
And here's the thing, too. She comes from the same generation that always did the whole measles party stuff. You know, when a kid in the neighborhood got measles, everybody went to their house so that you'd get measles too, so that you could get it done and over with and out of the way, because getting it as a kid is always safer than getting it as an adult.
Exactly.
And the thing with the vaccines, and the thing with the vaccines as well is that they don't equate to a natural immunity. You have to get boosters over and over again in order to keep the immunity there, as well as the fact that they don't even give you immunity all of the time.
No. According to the CDC, the current MMR, which stands for measles, mumps, and rubella,
and is... And they usually toss a V in there as well for the varicella.
Is... What'd they say? 93% effective.
Yeah.
Okay. Most people think, 93%, I'm covered. What they fail to realize, there's 7% out there that you could still get sick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many people are in this country alone? What? There's like 395 million, but let's just take 300 million as the example. That's 21 million plus people that could have the vaccine and be completely... still
they're
contagious.
Carriers.
They're still carriers. Right. And it's also been found that those who do get vaccinated are carriers of it, and they're sloughing off the disease everywhere they go.
Exactly. You know, this all started, this whole anti-vaxxer vaccination falderall, brouhaha, dust up, whatever you want to call it, started in Disney World. And it has now been found that patient zero, that case zero, got it from a man who was immunized, ladies and gentlemen of
yes,
the jury.
He had the vaccine.
The man had the vaccine, but did not contract the virus, but acquired the virus as a carrier while he was in Hong Kong, China.
Brought it over here, gave it to someone else here, and also was an adult, again, who was vaccinated. So this was originating from a vaccinated person, not the anti-vaccine crowd, like all of you who are the pro-vaxxers keep screaming. This was not one of the anti-vaxxers, the evil bastards who refuse to immunize their children and so therefore are endangering the entire planet from all these diseases and making polio come back and blah, blah, bull crap that goes on. None of that is true. You toss into there as well the fact that 60% of the people who have gotten the measles so far in this quote-unquote outbreak, which is a joke of a word, they're calling it an epidemic of epic proportions, and it's a joke of a word, okay?
What? I think it's up to what?
It's like 130 or something like that at last count that I knew.
130 people.
Out of a country of 395 plus million people.
Right.
And outbreak that doth not make.
And it's in like 18 states or 21 states.
Yeah. But again, 60% of those are adults who are not really in danger from getting measles. Number one, right? 1% of the people that are currently in this outbreak are, it's actually less than 1%, are the ones who are actually considered to be in the danger zone if they were to get measles. In other words, they're under 1 year of age and at risk with it. So, you know, you take that into account, and like 18% are from the ages of like 13 to 18. So it's at the point of basically 80%+ of the people who are impacted by this currently are not even in any danger from getting the measles per se. Okay. It can be handled, right? Then you toss in the fact that what with this outbreak that's going on right now, which is at like 130-ish or whatever, is not even what last year's or the year before's outbreak of measles was like. I think it was 2013 had something like 607 cases of measles in the country.
Uh-huh.
So where is this a big problem? You see, it's an agenda. It's a propaganda that's going on, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
I know I'm preaching to the choir with you here, but
yeah, on this one you are. I mean,
for once we agree on a subject.
I mean, this one you are. I mean, because this is without a doubt the most ridiculous thing I've heard in a long time, because it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's being pushed by these vaccine manufacturers. It's being pushed by the big pharma that's going on. And you see with all of it going on that a lot of the sock puppetry is happening. A lot of the propaganda that's going on with it is actually the sock puppet, you know, type of thing that's going on. It's not actual people that are talking it. It's people that are hired basically by the pharmaceutical companies to go out and troll everywhere. all of this stuff.
I just did a little research. The measles outbreak so far this year is in 14 states, and most of them are your Western, the majority of them are your Western states, that these are people that would be actually coming to Disneyland.
Right. Well, and a lot of the places that are being outbroken right now as well are the same places that they sent the children to, or that they've been sending the children to, that have been coming into the country illegally. They've been sent to these same areas, and they have come from countries where measles is an issue.
Yeah. And the thing is, people, yes, if you're an adult and you get measles, it's going to be bad. You're going to be hurting. You're going to be sick. If you're a child and you get measles, you're going to be sick, but not as sick as if you're an adult.
And not only that, but think about it this way as well. And this is something, again,
people have gotten the measles and are still alive?
Well, that's what I was just getting to, actually. You kind of read my mind there. In the past 10 years, this is numbers from the CDC themselves again. In the past 10 years, the number of people that have died from measles is zero. The number of people who have died from actually getting the MMR is 108.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you hard numbers here. You ready for some hard numbers, little brother?
Ready for the numbers. Go for it.
This is directly, and I say this again, directly from the CDC website.
Okay, so this is from the Center of Disease Creation, Proliferation, and Expansion, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Or the Center for Disease Paranoia.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Measles cases and outbreaks, January 1 to February 13, 2015. 141 cases reported in 17 states and the Washington, D.C. Those states are Arizona, California, Colorado, Delaware, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska, New Jersey, New York, Nevada, Oregon, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, and Washington. And two outbreaks this year, representing 87% of the reporting period. Now, I'm looking at a graph of measles cases. This year, in 2015, we've had 141 cases. Last year, apparently, we had almost 650 cases.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. So it was 2014 that I was thinking of that was the 600 and some odd.
Right. And now you see, the thing is, when they say two outbreaks, they're talking about one at the beginning of 2014 and now this current one.
Right. But the point is, though, that in the entirety of the year, over the whole year, there was 600 and what, 75?
600 and about 50.
650,
I'm not getting
okay.
It's hard number on that one because it's a graph.
Yeah, well, okay, so about 650.
And the reason it was so large in 2014 is it included one large outbreak of 383 cases occurring primarily among unvaccinated, there's that word again,
oh boy,
Amish communities in Ohio.
Okay, but again, how many died?
None.
Exactly.
I'm looking through here at mortality rates. It is not mentioned. So there were no more there was no mortality rate in 2014 or 2015 for measles.
Okay, so
because measles is not a dead, it can be, but with modern medicine, modern antibiotics and modern antiviral medications, it's not that big a deal. And it's not like the mumps have come back, ladies and gentlemen. The mumps is internal measles.
Right.
That's the one that can kill you.
That's the big shut. One, right.
It swells things shut that shouldn't be swelled shut.
Yeah, I know. I had the measles, chicken pox, and mumps all at the exact same time. About killed me.
That was right after you had the MMR, wasn't it?
That was right after I had the MMR. Yes, exactly. It was within about, I believe from what my mom said, it was within 2 weeks of it. And that falls right in line with what I've been saying. For 28 days after you get the measles, the MMR shot, you are contagious. You are sloughing this stuff off of you for 28 days. 28 days later, fine. Funny, that's... Anyways, so...
Not really, because I don't want to meet up with rage zombies. I'd much rather have the slow, dead ones.
The Romero zombies,
Right, they're much easier to shoot in the head.
Yeah.
But the good thing about a rage zombie is you can shoot them anywhere, and you will kill them.
Yep, exactly. You'll take them down. Well, okay, so with this whole deal that's going on, the thing that really gets my goat with it is the fact that I have a goat. He's a pretty goat. Anyways, the thing that bothers me is that they've been using this agenda so hard, and the people that are out here, there really is no anti-vaccine agenda per se. I know there's some that are out there that advocate, you know, not having any and blah blah blah, and that's fine. But for by and large, most people are just wanting to ask the questions, just wanting these things answered. And we are being lambasted just for asking the questions. That really bothers me, you know?
Whatever happened to freedom of speech?
Well, exactly. And it's like, okay, just asking the question is enough for people to want you to be jailed. You know, the response a lot of times that I've seen to people that are just asking the question is, oh, so you're one of those people that want polio to come back? What? Did I say that? Did I even imply anything like that? What the hell is your problem? What kind of logical discussion can we have when you shut the door like that and not even make it possible to have a talk or a conversation about this?
Exactly. The thing that really gets to me is, you know, that we are, if you decide not to have a certain vaccination, you're made to feel like a pariah. You're made to feel like, oh, you're going to be the cause of the downfall of civilization. You're made to feel like just because you don't want a flu shot, you're going to make everybody else around you, you know, die of the Black Death.
Which we do have, by the way. The Black Death is still here. We still have the plague. There's plague outbreaks every year here, you know. I wanted to read
the
this off to you.
The bubonic plague has never gone away.
No, exactly, and it's just antibiotics that take care of it. I wanted to read this off to you though, because this falls into the conversation here, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Okay, according to LifeSite News, a Catholic publication, the Kenya Catholic Doctors Association is charging UNICEF and the WHO with sterilizing millions of girls and women under cover of an anti-tetanus vaccination program sponsored by the Kenyan government. The Kenyan government denies that there is anything wrong with the vaccine and says that it is perfectly safe. The Kenya Catholic Doctors Association, however, saw evidence to the contrary and had 6 different samples of the tetanus vaccine from various locations around Kenya sent to an independent laboratory in South Africa for testing. The results confirmed their worst fears. All 6 samples tested positive for the HCG antigen. This antigen is used in anti-fertility vaccinations, but was found present in tetanus vaccinations targeted to young girls and women of childbearing age. And this is not the first time that this kind of thing has occurred. In the 1960s, when the here in America, when they were giving out the polio vaccine, over 9 million doses of the polio vaccine was found to be contaminated with the simian virus 40, which is a cancer-causing virus. This stuff was admitted by the CDC. It was actually posted onto their website for a very long time, and it was actually just taken down right before this measles outbreak started. That's when it was removed
from the site. They're trying to get people to go in and have the... You know, it's been well known that to test the efficacy of certain drugs, to test the to do certain things quietly, create an outbreak. And to quote Rahm Dead Fish Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste. Another thing that was given to women in the 60s, and it was given in the form of a vaccine, was something that affected one of your ex-wives.
Yeah, thalidomide.
Thalidomide.
Yep.
And it was incorporated into vaccinations.
Right, and you have the whole thalidomide babies thing that went on, where these babies were devastated because of the stuff that was in this vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, these babies were... They had birth defects. They had physical birth defects. They had mental birth defects. They had calcium deficiencies, which was something that affected your ex-wife.
Right. Yeah. She lost all of her teeth because of it. Yeah.
Right. You know, it also caused many of these women to have stillborn babies, to have miscarriages because of this. And it was just like the mercury, just like the aluminum, just like the all these other additives that are in these vaccines.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they expect that we in the great unwashed masses are supposed to bow down before them and say, oh, you're right, master. Give us more of this deadly crap that you're injecting into us, because we know it's safe because you told us that it's safe. And then you turn around and find out something completely different. You find out that it had this cancer-causing virus. You find out that it had a devastating adjutant in it. You find out that it had... On and on. It's just absolute insanity. And we're the ones that are dumb bastards for asking the stupid questions.
Exactly. Now, as far as the WHO and UNICEF, do we really want to get into that topic right now? Because, you know, I could go on for hours about the WHO.
No, we've only got about 15 minutes left. So,
yeah. But it doesn't overly shock me that they are adding basically permanent birth control or the long-term birth control into shots in Kenya. And it's in conjunction with the Kenyan government because of the WHO firmly believes that every country on the planet is severely overpopulated.
Yeah, they ascribe to the whole Georgia Guidestones issue where they want only 500 million people on the planet and on and on and on. They're all about the depopulation agenda.
Exactly. And that, folks, is another topic for another day, because we can go on about that one for days.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask this then, since we've only got about 15 minutes left. Is there anything that you have that's pressing on your mind that you want to make sure that we get talked about here?
Oh, you would put me on the spot. actually, yeah, I was watching the news today and...
Shame on you.
I live with an 82-year-old man. My parents are 63 and 82. The man watches watches Fox News religiously.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But we had a 3-day conference that just wrapped up today at the White House. And I'm sure that I missed the news portion of your show.
Yeah, I
today.
Have actually not gotten into the conference at all yet.
Good. So this is a good time to get into it a little bit. Yes, and it was the purpose of this conference was to discuss ways with the international community of fighting radicalism. Not radical Islam, just radicalism. And of course, we were talking about ISIS or ISIL,
which they keep trying to change the name of. It's ISIS. Everybody needs to get that through. It's ISIS. Always call it ISIS. Make sure that you do. ISIS is the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, period.
No, that's the Mossad.
No. That the ISIS is an offshoot of the Mossad. They called it that because of the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. It's been found. Trust me. Anyways, go ahead.
But our great dictator-in-chief, Ovamit, has still yet to come out and say that this is radical Islam and we must stop it. No, he says that we must convince the world and show the world that these radicals do not represent Islam. The people that are chopping off heads in videos, I do believe they keep screaming Allah Akbar.
It is definitely radical Islam one way or the other. It can't
Thank
be
you.
Denied.
That's what I was trying to get out here.
Yeah.
It is radical Islam. And now, don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen, I do not have a problem with Muslims at all. As a matter of fact, I quite like most of them. They are a very polite people. They are a very friendly people. They are a very open people. They are you get one talking and you usually can't stop them. They're fun to be around if they are the true Islamic.
Thank you. That's people. What I wanted to make sure to get clear. The people who are the quote unquote radical Islam are not Muslims. The ones who are radical Christians are not Christians. They are using the scriptures that are there to fulfill their agendas, but they're wearing the suit and the tie, and that's it. They're there in the clothing, but they are not actually the people of the religion. They're just using it as their weapon of choice.
Right.
I want to make sure that people understand that, especially when I talk about all this stuff.
And this is something that I learned actually from a very great book series, the Left Behind series, which is a series about the end of days. If you haven't read it, I do highly recommend it. And I'm not a religious person, not even close. I don't even claim to be Christian. I'm actually a Druid, if you want to get right down technical with it. But in the scriptures, it says, if you are going to take up the clothing of God, take up the whole armor of the word.
Right. That's what I advocate when I'm speaking to people about their religion, is that if you're going to be a religion, be the religion whole hog. Don't do it just a little bit. Don't do it just on the surface or paying lip service to it. If you're going to be a thing, be the thing all the way. Take pride and go with it, you know? I'm going to play you an audio, Joe, that I want to get your response to. This is from Marie Harf, who is a spokeswoman for the State Department, and what they plan on doing as far as fighting ISIS is concerned. You ready for it?
Go for it.
Here you go.
Well, I think there's a few stages here. Right now, what we're doing is trying to take their leaders and their fighters off the battlefield in Iraq and in Syria. That's really where they flourish.
Are we killing enough of them?
We're killing a lot of them, and we're going to keep killing more of them. So are the Egyptians. So are the Jordanians. They're in this fight with us. But we cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war. We need, in the longer term, medium and longer term, to go after the root causes that leads people to join these groups, whether it's lack of opportunity for jobs.
We're not going to be able to stop that in our lifetime. 50 lifetimes. There's always going to be poor people. There's always going to be poor Muslims. And as long as there are poor Muslims, the trumpet's blowing. They'll join. We can't stop that, can
but
we?
We can work with countries around the world to help improve their governance. We can help them build their economy so they can have job opportunities for these people. You're right. There is no...
So that they can have job opportunities. That's the way that they're going to fight, is giving them jobs. What do you think about that?
First and foremost, I actually heard that audio today as I was watching Fox News.
Yeah.
And the thing that struck me the hardest is Shepard Smith, who was the man that was talking.
No, actually, that was Chris Matthews.
Chris Matthews.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
MSNBC.
has it right. We're not attacking radical Islam the way we need to be. Radical Islam is not going to be cured by giving them job opportunities. It's not going to be cured by working with governments around the world to improve their governance. That's what got us in this mess to begin with.
Didn't we do the same thing in Iraq? We brought them democracy, we destroyed their infrastructure, and we took away their jobs, right? I mean, that's – and so now we're supposed to give them the jobs back, essentially.
The thing – you know – the thing that struck me the hardest was this twit from the State Department. We're not going to fight. We're not going to kill our way out of this war. Okay, first and foremost, war has been declared. The time for talking, the time for negotiating, the time for peacemaking is over. The time for picking up a weapon and killing those people that are killing our citizens, that are kidnapping our citizens, that are raping our citizens, that are murdering us, has come. How do you win? I quote General George S. Patton. No fool has ever won a war by dying for his country. You win a war by making the other guy die for his country.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the State Department has also said that they are planning on implementing a new type of warfare, that they are going to essentially tweet them to death. ISIS right now sends out 90,000 tweets per day, and the State Department is planning on sending out even more tweets to counteract the propaganda that ISIS is putting out. It's literally the war of the words.
War of the – oh, Jesus
Christ. You caught that, right?
No, I'm – it's
Yeah, brain freeze, right? Exactly. It's like, okay, so we're going to tweet our way through this war.
The only way – right? The thing is, radical Islam, the only language they understand – the only language they know is violence. And I'm sorry, there's a lot of people out there that say violence begets violence. They're right. But if somebody is coming at you to kill you, you've got a very simple choice. You or them.
Well, it's like the idea of the far left who want to do the whole gun control thing and expect that what you get robbed by a criminal at gunpoint and you're just supposed to look at them and say that gun has been banned, you know, and they're supposed to then just go, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be using this. It's the same kind of thinking, right?
Exactly. It comes right down to a very simple prospect. It's us or them. And I'm sorry, when it comes right down to it, I'd much rather have us.
I don't necessarily disagree with you on it. I think that it has gotten to that point now that it's essentially boiling down to that. And it's, to me, it's a sad state of affairs that it's been let get to this point. But, you know, it's at some point, even those of us who stand against war and against, you know, using violence and that sort of thing, which I do understand that there is a time and place for everything. And this is the time and place that something like that is likely going to be necessary. Unfortunately, it really is a lot of propaganda that's going on both sides, though.
Oh, yes.
And it's very hard for us in the great unwashed masses to know who's telling the truth and where the truth is. A lot of these videos that they're putting out are fake. There are some that are real, yes, but a lot like of them, the vast majority of them are fake.
Is very real, and the one of the Jordanian pilot being burned to death, yeah, that was a real one.
I have suspicions on that one, but yeah, anyways.
And ISIS thought, oh, we're going to take the heart out of the Jordanian people. We're going to get them out of this coalition.
Yeah, and then the king starts flying airstrikes against them himself.
Exactly. It's like, mother. Yeah. Well, the thing is.
Oh, you almost lost it there, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing it comes down to is very simple. It is a matter of they broke Islamic law.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, they have in every way, actually.
Burning him to death was a violation of Islamic law.
Right.
And I'm sorry, the way I look at this is very simple. ISIS, no matter who started them or who funded them, needs to be destroyed. Radical Islam in and of itself needs to be destroyed.
Yeah, but it's never going to be. It's just like radical Christianity. It's never going to be destroyed as long as the scriptures are there and give the capability of these type of things to be done in its name. It's never going to happen. It's always, I mean, you'll look at Christianity. This is just the new form of the Dark Ages and the Inquisition. That's essentially what it is. We're seeing that now in our time period, as opposed to when it happened in the, you know, 1000s, basically.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, that's what this is. The ISIS is literally the modern version of the Spanish Inquisition. So nobody expects my goat. Anyway, so.
Surprise and fear.
But that's what we have happening here. And unfortunately, again, because the scriptures are there and still available for people to follow and all of that kind of stuff, you're going to have people that are going to use them in ways that they were never really intended to be. Now, the other issue, though, is that because of that, you can't fight an ideology. It's impossible to do. The more you fight an ideology, the more it's going to have more heads pop up. It's the Hydra, you know?
Stop with the head chopping thing.
But it is. It's a Hydra situation. You know, when one falls, two more rise.
Exactly. And I understand that. I agree with it. The only way that we'll ever truly eliminate all of this is to come together. And I guess that's about the only, I know we're running very short on time.
Yeah.
And I get, this would be about the time you're asking for my final thoughts. And that would be the only really final thought in all of the subjects that we've been talking about tonight is quit dividing, quit being divisive, quit being stretched apart, come together. Look at your neighbors, look at your friends, look at your complete strangers, and come together and start having discussions, not arguments. Start having dialogue, not confrontation.
I agree. And I think that is a big portion of what's going to help the whole situation. It comes down to what we were talking about towards the beginning of things, where the lawmakers are trying to ban the learning of the true history of America. The problem that we have going on is that on all of the sides of this, everybody is denying that they themselves have the same stuff in their background. The Christians are against the Muslims because the Muslims are, according to them, based on a pedophilic thing with Muhammad and all of that kind of stuff. But Christianity has the exact same thing in its background as well, especially in the Old Testament, that exact same stuff occurred then, and so they don't have that leg to stand on, and so the Muslims are ticked off at the Christians for not acknowledging it, and they're ticked off at the Jews for the same thing, on and on and on. It's a bloodbath between brothers, and that is the biggest problem with it.
Oh, definitely. The whole Jewish Muslim conflict is a 3,000-year-old blood feud that we need to pull our noses completely out of.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's probably where I'll let things stand with things, is that when it comes to anything that's going on in the Middle East, we really do need to just back away and stay out of it and let them do whatever it is that they're going to do. Guard our own borders, have our soldiers pull back into the United States itself and guard our borders, guard what we have here. And if they decide that in the end they want to glass themselves back to the Stone Age, then so be it. You know, that might be what it ends up coming down to. But in the end, that's exactly what they want to have happen. They're just, they're tired apparently of Earth, and they just want to glass it back to the Stone Age. So that's kind of where I guess I'll leave things stand, and we can pick up with that kind of thought later, you know, in another episode, because I do want to definitely talk with you about that whole issue at some point in the future, because you and I do have those differing thoughts with it. But in the end, we do have an understanding that at the basis, what is going to help is to actually come together, stop denying everything, and just say, okay, we've all screwed up. Let's sit down and just start all over. You know, that's what it comes down to. We'll call a mulligan on all of this stuff, and let's just start over from the beginning.
I agree. I totally agree with you.
So with that, guys, we are out of time. Definitely out of time. I have really enjoyed this conversation, and I've had a great time with it. Joe, thank you so much for being here on this episode. I hope that you had as good of a time with it all as I have.
Always do. Always do.
Awesome. So guys, if you want to send an email to me, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to the show notes for this show, you'll find them at openeyesnetwork.com/OE075. If you want to go to my Facebook or Twitter pages, I am at Open Eyes Network or Ira Robinson on both of those. And I'm more than happy to take any kind of comments or feedback that you guys have on any subject. If you guys like Joe being here, let me know, you know. on Wednesday, I'm not sure what the episode is going to be topic-wise, but I'll let you guys know on my Facebook and everything, you know, all my various stuff tomorrow. Be sure to pay attention to it. One way or the other, I will be here on Wednesday. You can come in at latenightinthemidlands.com starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as always. Be sure to stick around. Michael Vera is going to bring you Late Night in the Midlands in just a couple of minutes. And guys, until next time, please keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening. Again, remember, tune in Wednesday, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, latenightinthemidlands.com.